Welcome to a very special Discover Film podcast. Today's podcast is the Oscar Preview Show. Three filmmakers joined me: Caroline O'Brien of Puppet Life, James Medeiros of Puppet Life, and Alex Merkin of This Modern Man Is Beat. And the four of us discussed the Oscars. We made our picks of who we think will win. We also named the ones that are our favorites that we don't think will win. And of course, we just discussed the heck out of all the categories that we had time for. It's an extra long podcast, about 90 minutes, but it's basically one long conversation about the movies that have been nominated for the Oscars and what we loved about them, and sometimes what we didn't love. I don't think you need any more setup. Let's get started. Alex Merkin.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi. Director of This Modern Man Is Beat.
Thanks for having
me. Oh my God, his film is like, is very good.
It's really good.
The cinematography is beautiful. And I have an optimistic end if anyone needs to talk about it after they see it.
And equally good as Puppet Life.
Absolutely.
And the Puppet Life team, Caroline O'Brien and James Medeiros, although we'll probably call you Jim.
Yeah.
But I always think of you as James Medeiros because that's what it looks like on screen.
Right. That's what I think of you too, and that's only because he said it and I've never met you before.
And she's a producer and actress, and he's a writer, producer, director, and actor. You do everything.
Try.
You're a renaissance.
Good job.
I also write.
An Olympic caliber wrestler.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Let's go. Let's do this.
So cool.
I'm not afraid of you.
Awesome.
And luckily, everyone will always know when Caroline's speaking, and hopefully they'll be able to tell us apart.
I'm definitely afraid of you.
Hopefully. Hopefully they'll be able to understand me.
So the first one, and, you know, let's go this way, and then that way.
All right.
Yeah, I love it.
And then this way, and then that way. Right. You're always in the middle, I guess.
So you get to hear somebody.
No, we'll start, a different person starts each one.
Ooh. I like that idea.
And ladies first. Women are more important.
You're such an egalitarian. Although women being more important is not egalitarian, is it?
No, it's actually...
Until that Wrinkle in Time movie comes out.
Oh my God, I cannot wait.
And they set everyone back. I'm just kidding. Okay.
Mindy Kaling and Oprah in the same movie. It's just my...
I do like Mindy. She's...
It's my dream come true. So we're starting with...
Actress in a supporting role.
Actress,
that's our first.
Role. Yeah. So I just saw Lady Bird yesterday, and Laurie Metcalf is amazing. She's a revelation. She was so good in it, and there was no ego, no what a mother should be. She didn't mind if it got ugly. The relationship, just, and the depth of her love for her daughter, it was just beautiful. She did a really good job. So she's my favourite there, although I have heard amazing things about Mary Jo Blige in Mudbound, but I just haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. But apparently the director said she had to stop her from... Like, she wouldn't let her have her fake lashes or her nails or anything. So she really...
I didn't even recognize her at first.
Yeah, that's what everyone says.
I didn't realize
and if
that
you
was
can
her.
Just disappear into a role like that and people don't recognize
you. I worked with a couple of music artists before, and it's interesting the ways they like to prepare. It's it's an interesting process. They're all very very unique.
Very different.
Do they have their Sasha Fierce, their character they have to get into?
They definitely can.
That's Beyonce.
So
she's Sasha Fierce on stage.
But I understand your winner and your favorite. You're picking Laura Metcalf to win, and she's also your favorite.
Yes.
All right.
But only because I haven't seen Mary,
right.
In Mudbound. Because I think that, and I do love Octavia Spencer and everything she does. Shape of Water was not, I don't think it, her role was not as big as it could have been.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
And now, Jim, your turn.
I don't know. I think this one's kind of like lopsided. I think it's pretty easy slam dunk. I think Allison Janney's going to walk away with it. She was
amazing.
Oh my gosh! Like, she totally rocked my face. Like, I was like, oh shoot. especially because it was a little bit of a departure from what she normally does. I mean, she's so talented in so many ways, but like in that movie, she was scary and like so intense.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and so willing to be the bad guy. Bad mom. Just a mean
She
woman.
Just reveled in the character. I mean, there's such a rich character too, you know. And I think in I, Tonya, like the way they kind of depicted all the different scenarios. I love the asides. I love, like, oh, I hit her once with the brush, and it shows her beating the kid with the brush. And the whole bird
thing. The bird on his shoulder. I think I've changed my mind.
That was a tough one for me because I love both those so much. And they're both mothers. Yes. And they're both realistic. Yeah. And they're both
beautiful. I did love Laurie Metcalf. I thought just that the whole relationship was so honest. Like, I was like, wow, this really, like, you know, depicts what, like, you know, just like a specific mother-daughter relationship. Because there's so many different kinds of relationships in that scenario. But it just felt so honest, and I was like, I was really moved by it, which is why I was surprised she wasn't nominated for a Golden Globe, and then I was excited to see she got nominated for an Oscar.
Imagine you go to a mother's group meeting, and Alice and Jenny from I, Tonya is and also the mother from Three Billboards with the Tortoise.
Oh, my God.
Sam Rockwell's mother.
Yeah, yeah. She was great.
The bird and the tortoise.
Well, this is another topic, but Frances McDormand's mother, the mother who... literally shouts at her daughter as she's leaving the house. Okay, different talk. I'll save my phrase for that. Rough moms. This was the year of the rough mom.
Yeah,
the
gosh.
Realistic
Thank
rough
God
mom.
God, you don't have to be an angel.
I didn't even know that until right now.
Yeah.
So, by the way, as much as I loved Allison Janney, my winner and favorite, I think, is Laurie Metcalf. Those are my picks. As much as I love Janney, I felt like Metcalf was the... like a very extremely just real human being.
Mm.
Whereas Janney did this great job of being a real human being that seemed cartoonish, but it's the real person.
Yeah, I think you watch the actual interviews, you're like,
yeah, she was spot bang on.
Just all those levels that Metcalf showed, you know, the sorrow, the concern, the
running in. I'm not going to give things away.
I mean, I just loved it. I couldn't get enough of that.
Such a good film.
And she was great. And I think a lot of people obviously are, I know a lot of women are definitely relating to that relationship enormously.
Yeah, I actually heard an interview with her where she completely is on her character's side.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, the interviewer was trying to say, you know, she's kind of, she's like, no, I just think she loves her daughter and she wants to protect her. She just wants her to not waste her life.
Right.
Yeah. Definitely.
Right.
She's like, I've gone through three teenagers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if she won. I did pick Allison Janney as well.
For your winner and your favorite?
You know what's interesting? It's hard for me to pick a favorite between those two, and I even really liked... Leslie Manville, just because I thought
very subtle performance.
Yeah, and almost too subtle.
Where I was like, I didn't see a scene where she was like, "That's an Oscar scene," you know. But
I mean, for me, it was just holding her own.
Yeah, she did such
an amazing performance by Daniel Day-Lewis. So it's like that's
is that his last?
That's according to him.
Sister less. Unless he gets another role that
it's not like yeah, it's not like he's hurtling himself into the sun. I mean, he is going to be alive for another 30 years.
He just doesn't
come back.
He legitimately does not like to be in the limelight. He just doesn't like any of the attention that comes with it. So I think he'd be happy to walk away. He's uncomfortable walking down the street and being recognized and doing interviews and doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It just makes him. He doesn't like any of the stuff that goes along with the fame part of it.
Yeah.
So it could be, but and he's happier when he's just sort of like, you know, making shoes. Or
he also immerses himself in the role so much.
Right. It's a lot of work. That's a lot. I mean, what that did to Robert De Niro. Just the burnout that you get when you're like, when you have to do that much work to get into a role for that long.
But he's not going to pull De Niro and shift into comedy.
I don't think so. I think he's going to end up.
She does so great
doing a Bullwinkle.
Yeah, I don't think he cares enough.
So, are you picking a winner? I'm picking Allison Janney as the winner. I think she will win. But I think Metcalf would it would be not surprising at all if she took it. But
so your favorite's kind of divided between the two.
It is. I'm always going to be wishy-washy with favorites because I just like
you like everything.
I always find these award things just, it's like, how do you...
Yeah, it's tough. And
how do you pick a... How do you say this is better than that? I mean, it's just different circumstances they were made under, different...
It's also personal opinions. You know, we could be so different on certain opinions about certain movies, like...
No, we talked about this beforehand. You've got to agree with me.
Oh, sorry. I forgot.
But by the way, a thing about Leslie Manville is, why is that a supporting role? That was, she was the lead.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
maybe. Because he's so huge that he's the lead.
Larger
her well. Character was
it's also
a leading
about,
role, was it not?
I mean, it's like the year that like Ethan Hawke was
that's
like
to protect her yeah. from the other leading actresses.
Yeah,
and get Phantom Thread.
Because Ethan, remember Ethan Hawke when he was up against Denzel Washington and some Training Day, and was like, well, that the whole story is his point of view. How is this? How's he supporting acting?
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
no way he's going.
And that's more strategical. Right. I mean, the producers of the movie get to decide where they want to go
right.
for what
strategy.
Yeah.
I just want to point out that she was an amazing lead actress.
Yeah. She was. She was.
It's like, you know, you think, oh, how can we win versus, or how can we get the nomination with the certain competition? Like Brokeback Mountain, they were both nominated for leading, and then when it went to Oscars, then one went supporting.
Right. Just so that they have a chance. Like,
yeah.
So they're not competing against each
and
other.
And you'll take votes from each other,
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Mm. All right, well, now we're going to do actor in a supporting role, and Jim gets a start.
Okay. I feel like this one's pretty easy as well. I've seen all these movies, and I do think now that Woody Harrelson got nominated for Three Billboards, who was great, I think he might still vote from Sam Rockwell. But I still think Sam Rockwell gave such a great performance.
He rocked it well.
Oh, my gosh. He rocked it really well. And so I think he's going to walk away with it. But I would say I loved all these performances. I think it's funny Christopher Plummer kind of got Kevin Spacey's nomination. But it was so, I think, actually better casting because he was actually looked and seemed a lot like the actual Getty. Which
and that's a challenge, though, too, because he's shooting everything. Was he shooting it without the other actors?
No,
they reshot
the whole thing.
All of his scenes, yeah.
Okay.
They reshot even the scenes without him, just so that they'd have the
feeling was different.
Yeah.
I like that.
You know what's funny? I saw an interview with Ridley Scott, and he was talking about the difference between the two actors playing the same part.
Yeah.
And he was saying that Kevin Spacey played way more of like a villainous character. And he said he was, you know, not very endearing at all. He said, however, when he had that scene with the little boy earlier in the movie, he said the most beautiful scene he's ever seen and totally made him earn his villainous parts. But he was saying that Christopher Plummer had so much more depth than in the whole thing.
Does he sing Edelweiss in it at all?
He did.
Yeah, I love that.
That was touching. And I thought Richard Jenkins had such a great character, like, in Chippewater, like, so interesting.
He really was, yeah.
I thought Willem Dafoe was great as well, but I just really, that movie kind of, I struggle with it a little bit. I just had trouble. There was no story, and it was very, like, a slice of life. And it was very interesting people and stuff, and they were all real except for William Dafoe.
I love that you've seen it, and I haven't. So
Florida Project.
I didn't see Florida Project.
I would normally
William Dafoe. I have such a man crush on.
I just think
everything he does is brilliant all the time.
Yeah.
But I figured not enough people saw it for him to win.
Yeah, well, you know, and it was definitely like a indie slice of life movie with real kind of people. They had the kids. You could tell a lot of it was improv because they just had the kids kind of do stuff and say stuff. And the kids are just talking. You could sound like, oh, just talk about, like, you know, how much you like eating. And then the kid just kind of starts talking. And Willem Dafoe, like, was, like, you know, interacting with them. And it was, like, it was really interesting. And there's some really dramatic, like, things, but it was more like a slice of life. There was no real story. It was kind of like, this is like what some people live like, and I don't know.
Yeah, no, my picks are the same. For me, Sam Rockwell is winner and favorite. But damn, if Woody, the depths of that character and the depths of that performance.
He's just also one of my
also
snubs.
Blows
too.
Me away.
I think that he probably should have been nominated for LBJ, which not many people, nobody saw it, but.
No.
He's
I agree with you.
No, he's such a good job.
I didn't see it.
And Woody's been nominated twice, right? Larry
before.
Flint.
Yeah, no, three times.
Yeah.
He also got nominated for The Messenger.
And what's the other one? Larry Flint, Messenger.
Larry Flint.
And this is...
And this one.
Yeah, so twice before.
He's always brilliant. He's so good. But then Sam Rockwell, what he goes through is even...
Oh, yeah.
It's
great character.
Actually, I've always wished the SAG Awards, there's an ensemble award, right?
Oh, yes. Wouldn't Three Billboards have done well with the ensemble award?
They would have to win, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just because so many... All the parts work so perfectly. You know, the sun.
Well, that's why, like, Martin McDonagh's my favorite writer, because, like, he literally writes such well-rounded, such depth in all the characters. Like, the people have the villains are not villains, and the
even Peter Dinklage's guy,
yeah.
Oh, he was so
fully
great.
Fleshed out.
Yeah.
And fully fleshed out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Three small parts.
Yeah.
And the mistress.
Whoa. Let's not... little person part. Don't say that. Like, that's kind of rude. Anyway. Sorry.
But the mistress that says polio. Polio. Yeah. She's Australian.
Yeah,
and she did not sound Australian at all. Like,
Australians are very good at the accent.
What do Australians sound like?
Some of us are. Huh?
What Australian song?
I can't tell you.
I was informed by an Australian that Australians are so good at doing the accents because of how much looser they are with their own language. It's just
loose. What are you saying?
Yeah, just the wording just has it. We're very uptight when we speak. And
my understanding is if you hide yourself in a box and you hang out in Sydney, you hear that all Australians sound American, and then they fake this Australian accent when we're around.
Yeah,
yeah, it's the biggest ruse of all time. they don't have the Australian accent. Is the whole thing is fake? It's a put on.
I know.
Yeah. But she was spectacular. She was. I watched her and I saw her like do two lines at one stage, and they were so, they just stood out. And I was like,
she was great. And then John Hawks. He shows up and is like the greatest, most menacing ex-husband, right?
Mm. Oh, he's so great.
See, best ensemble.
It is a great ensemble, yeah.
Let's create a new category.
It'd be a better category for them to have.
Sure.
It's your turn, Alex.
I'm also going to go with Sam Rockwell, who I thought was phenomenal. Although I 100% agree about Woody Harrelson, who I cried like a baby during that scene that if you haven't seen the movie, you'd know what scene it is.
The letter?
That was just so beautiful and heartbreaking. But Sam Rockwell he was amazing, as he always is, and he certainly had a lot more to do and a lot more ground to cover in terms of having that character arc. He had more journey to take, and he did it exceptionally. So,
His redemption at the end, his character transformation.
Yeah, it's such an arc. Mm. Yeah. If you read a lot of McDonagh's plays, he does that so well. Like, he'll have you laughing and then crying the next minute. You're just like, man.
It was a ride, and a switch. It looked like it was going to be super dark, but it.
Yeah. Jim is so much better informed. You read plays and stuff. My God.
Yeah.
I love Seven Psychopaths, and then I love this.
Have you seen In Bruges?
In Bruges, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I always forget that.
But his, like, Pillow Man is my most famous play. But Lieutenant Inishmore is so great. It's about, like, assassins who have heart. And, like, this assassin loves a cat, and his cat's been killed. And so it's, like...
Awesome.
Yeah. So John Wick stole from that.
Basically,
Great, now we know.
Yeah, that's where Save the Cat came from.
Well, Caroline, you're up.
Yeah,
you're up. She's up. Changing her. She's supporting.
No, I'm not.
I see you're cheating right now. I just want to let everybody know she's cheating right now.
I do cheat a lot. I love Woody Harrelson. I thought he was amazing. There was something odd about his relationship with his wife that I didn't buy.
Oh, that was the one.
There was a scene in the hospital where he had his arm around her, and they both looked super uncomfortable, and it looked like they'd left in where the actors were standing there before action was called, and they just looked really uncomfortable with each other. I was unsure about that.
It didn't really make sense that his wife was so young and beautiful.
Yeah, and sometimes Australian.
Old and bald.
Was that Abby Cornish?
Yeah, she's great.
She looks so different now than I don't. But I've always loved her. She's
what was her accent amazing. In that movie?
I don't know.
It was definitely like...
It was British, it was Australian.
It was something...
She didn't belong in that small Missouri town.
No.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, I wonder if it was a choice. Yeah, I wonder if it was a choice for her to be like, you know, from somewhere else kind of thing.
Had to be a choice. Yeah. But
wait, is she not...
It was distracting.
It wasn't defined.
She is Australian?
Wasn't it the first big movie from New Zealand?
It doesn't matter whether they're from New Zealand, because we steal them anyway.
Okay. All right.
As soon as they do anything good, we're like, they're ours.
I always thought she was... That's true.
They hate us.
A filmmaker I just interviewed last week, she grew up in Wellington and then moved to Sydney for filmmaking.
I went to school with Stephen Hunter, who is one of the dwarves in The Hobbit, and he is from New Zealand, and he used to say that, like, it's his pet peeve when we steal New Zealand actors.
That's what I'm saying. We're criminals.
But that's the same as a young actor in the Midwest moving to LA or New York.
Yeah.
It's how you move up.
But it's a different country.
Yeah, but we know
country.
Where we're from.
But you're distracted right now. You're on a tangent.
Yeah.
You're trying to pull us on a tangent.
We saw where you were.
Who is your best supporting actor?
Sam Rockwell, for sure.
And he's your favorite and your pick?
Yes, and here's the thing. I thought someone that should have been in this category was the dad from Call Me By Your Name for that speech at the end. Because there were so many questions in that, and that's... I've heard so many people say that hearing that speech from a father was so healing to hear. And I think that's such an important thing for our culture right now. And
it was incredible.
Yeah.
It was remarkable.
Yeah.
I would say the same thing if I'd seen it.
I love that actor.
Yeah, and he was lovely. So I just thought he should have been included, but yeah. Michael Stolberg.
Yeah, from Boardwalk Empire and the Coen Brothers film.
Yeah. He's in Suburbicon?
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. that was a wonderful movie.
A great actor. Yeah. Serious man.
All right, so we made it through that. So now we'll do Best Actress.
Yeah.
Sweet.
All right, great.
You're starting, are you?
Oh, and I have to start.
Yeah.
Well.
Go for it, Joffrey.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it, Jack.
My winner and my favorite are Frances McDormand.
Yeah.
As much as I love some other ones in there. And by the way, Sally Hawkins.
Mm-hmm. You know, I walked out of that film
saying, how is Sally Hawkins not going to win the Oscar? And then I saw Frances McDormand in 3 Billboards and went, oh, that's how.
Yeah.
Because honestly, what Sally Hawkins does.
I was like, she didn't even talk the whole movie. You're like, man. And
she's my favorite actress of all time.
That's right, because Happy Go Lucky. Yeah, which I've loved her since that movie. But I don't think she gets to win. I think Frances takes this. And that's all I have to say about that.
Awesome. Frances is my favorite. And I don't know why, I just have this odd feeling. And I think you're probably right, but I'm just going to go out on a limb and just be bold and say that I have this weird feeling that Margot Robbie is going to take it.
Really?
It's very odd.
Oh my god, that made me so excited.
And so I'm gonna pick her as
favorite?
No, my favorite is Frances. Oh. I'm just kind of going out on a limb and not picking who I. And I think obviously she is the favorite. I just have this feeling,
dark horse kind of.
Yeah, dark horse thing that Margot Robbie might take. Especially she produced the film and she's gone, and there's just been a lot of, there's just one of those things that, I don't know, I would just,
that's the kind of pick that wins you an Oscar pool.
If you go out on a limb.
Because
you
go out on a limb.
Yeah, I got a couple.
That's a good outlier, though, because that is, she could pull it off.
She was so good, too, and sometimes people say that Australians do a good American accent, but as an Australian, you can hear the... You can hear the little drops. Sometimes I can. And
I love how we have to point out every Australian actress.
I know.
Yeah.
Keep
flying the flag. So I would love for her to win. That would be so awesome. She's amazing. I loved Saoirse Ronan in Lady Bird. And Sally Hawkins is my favorite actress of all time. That was a hype movie for me. You know, you said you don't like going to see.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone hyped it. It's my favorite actress. I was like, oh my god, it's going to be romantic. I didn't love it. Huh. I liked it.
You have a thing against fish.
I didn't say that. It's not my words.
You're an anti-fishite.
Yeah, you hate fish. I get it. You hate fish people.
So wait, I still don't know your favorite or your winner.
My favorite is Frances McDormand. She was so amazing. There was a part where she was just sitting down at the planters underneath the billboards, and I could have watched her do that all day.
Mm-hmm.
She is breathtaking
she's amazing,
and breath-giving at the same time. She's She
does give the breath back to you after she's taken it away.
Kind of it's a mouth-to-mouth kind of situation.
You would have died. Yeah. She could kill you if
I could really use that breath back, please.
Yeah. But it's got the McDormand magic on it now. And Meryl Streep, dude, you've been there before. How many statues do you need?
Just not going to happen. I hate it when people say that.
It's not fair.
Yeah.
Not fair. Why are you gonna like Michael Jordan didn't deserve 6 championships?
Because I think it means more to someone who's never had it before.
You don't know what it means to Meryl. Like, have you asked Meryl what it means to Meryl?
Is the post Meryl's one that she should win for?
Well, she's playing a real character too.
Yeah.
And I think Allison Janney.
So wait, what's your pick? What's your prediction?
Francis.
So you're both.
Yeah. But it could be Saoirse. She won the Golden Globe.
Yeah.
Could be.
For comedy.
Won't be.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I would have to say, like a lot of you guys' thoughts, I thought Sally Hawkins was unbelievable. And I actually thought that, like, she would be the one who would win the Golden Globes, even though I thought Frances McDormand was, like, on another level. The fact that she never spoke through the whole movie and was so compelling and so moving. And I love Shape of Water. I thought it was such a beautiful movie all the way around. And a good love story for something so unconventional.
Such a great villain, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Michael Shannon
is awful.
He's so good.
He is the man of your nightmares. Right? Every film he's in, almost.
That finger was really a good representation of him.
Right. When it was on the floor?
Or when it was on his finger.
Throughout the film.
When it was on his finger.
And people around him.
And he was squeezing out
butts. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm actually surprised he didn't end up in
I'm surprised, too.
Yeah.
Well, last year...
If he'd been in 3 Billboards, he would have been nominated.
Maybe.
Well, last year he got nominated kind of out of the blue, which I just watched Nocturnal Animals last night again, which I still was sad that... the other guy, Taylor, Johnson did not get nominated for that because he was so, like, good at being that villain.
Well, you know, one of the tragedies of the Oscars is that when they're nominating, not everyone's seen everything.
Yeah.
It's...
Well, Richard Jenkins got nominated, same film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Richard he was Jenkins. Beautiful, but again... And another person dealing with sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And such a time, too, where, you know, the whole thing about the pies was so heartbreaking. You're like, oh, my gosh, he got a pie every week and didn't even eat them. Like,
I know. It made me so hungry, too, because I saw it in NoHo near Republic of Pie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm like, I gotta eat a pie. Yeah,
and you got one of those big green gelatinous pies.
I wanted a key lime.
That color was wrong.
Yeah, that's not what a key lime pie looks like.
I know, I think it's supposed to not look very
good. But that's not what an amphibious human fish looks like either. So
that's true. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, I mean the colors in that movie were so like
some of my best friends are human fish.
I don't know. Not the way you were talking about them earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I have you right. So, but you're Francis on both.
I'm definitely Frances. You know, she's kind of done this character before, in a way, with Fargo. I mean, it was kind of a similar... I mean, in a way, it was, like, you know, hard, like, real, like, you know, in-your-face kind of character, which I think she does really well.
Did she get nominated for that?
She won the Oscar.
Ah. So she's already won, too.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when people talk about Meryl, who's obviously the best of all time, and is over 20 nominations, you know, like... I think people always like think Meryl wins all the time, but you know she doesn't.
You mean you mean next to J-Lo?
You know everything. You did. Meryl lost for Doubt,
that one,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, and I watched Doubt again the other night,
and she's so good.
And every time I see Doubt, I'm like, no. So they didn't give it to her just because she's won a bunch of times.
Yeah.
No.
Because
actually,
that's one of the best performances of her career.
Yeah, actually, I feel like she's lost a few Oscars I thought she should have won because she gets nominated so much.
Yeah,
that's what you were saying, though, right? Yeah,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It actually hurts
that she deserved it for Doubt, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I thought Julia or whatever she...
Oh, she was so good in that.
Oh, my gosh.
Jane Lynch was so good in that. Their sister relationship was beautiful.
Yeah, I thought that she, like... totally transformed into Julia Childs.
Yes.
They just like the Oscars are about getting people to spend money at the theater.
And if she has won more times, people would probably be a little bit more upset. I mean, she's won 3 Oscars now, but the
Most people probably think it's 7 or 9.
No. Yeah. Iron Lady was the last one, and before that, it was 1983. She won for... Sophie's Choice.
Sophie's Choice.
And then she won a supporting in 79 for Kramer vs. Kramer. Those are her only
Oscar awards. I know.
You have the book, and you're the...
I know.
I'm taking you to a trivia night. Any trivia night we're gonna.
Especially if it has Oscars involved.
So your fave is split between?
No. I think my favorite might have been Sally Hawkins. But I definitely think Frances is gonna win.
Yeah.
And I love Margot Robbie. I thought
she was amazing.
Tour de force in that one. Like she killed it. It just kinda sucks that she may be against some people that are gonna beat her, but
it's tough.
Just, yeah.
And Lady Bird, I love that, it's such an honest... I mean, for somebody to do, like... she's so, like, not American. but she just, like, kind of kills that whole, like... I'm from the East Bay of California, so, like, the Sacramento area is not too far from me. And, like, it's interesting. They really captured that whole, like...
But her performance as a young woman coming of age like that, remarkable.
In the early thousands, like I was growing up in that time as well.
Oh boy.
Oh no.
And she's in her 20s and she did High School Senior perfectly.
Oh yeah.
Oh, she did it beautifully. Yeah, so. And her best friend was so great. I don't know what that actress's name is, but she was amazing.
But they never give it to the young woman with promise because the young actor with promise because they know she'll win a couple when she's 30.
Unless she's Lawrence, right?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Well,
actually,
she'll never get to win.
She did.
She'll never win like Silver she's already won.
Multiple times. But like there was actually a thing a little while ago, which I think things have kind of changed a little bit, saying that that young, attractive women would always win Best Actress, while young, attractive men would never win Best Actor.
And the other thing about
things have changed in the last, like, 7 years. And it was true.
Hollywood
was so sexist in the day that they always gave Best Supporting Actress to a child actor. Like, any time a child had a breakthrough, they gave it to her. Which was kind of an insult to all the adult women who had acted there.
Things have kind
of
changed,
that those roles were more interesting than the roles being offered to women.
I always thought it was a little bit of a put down to women. Like, see, look, even a child can do it.
Well, yeah, there was, like, the older woman, like, who's had a long, great career, they would win, like, supporting, but not Best Actress. It would be, like, Julia Roberts, Reese Witherspoon. Like, you'd see all these, like, young, attractive women win the Best Actress, while the men's category was, like, the seasoned vet would win versus the young, like, Leonardo DiCaprio wouldn't win, till he's older kind of thing.
Right.
Did he win?
It's true.
Yeah.
I agree.
Last year.
Totally true.
What was it for again?
Revenant.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, with the bear.
Yeah, the bear.
The one with the bear.
It was The Shape of Water in the woods.
It's exactly what
he did go under the water.
That's how it was pitched. That's The Shape of Water was pitched.
This is Revenant.
Little known fact, Sally Hawkins plays
Out of the Woods.
That's right, I did hear that. That's not that little known. Everybody's pretty sure about that.
Well, now the next one, Alex gets to start with actor.
Actor. Oh, man, that's like the worst one for me to start with because...
Yeah, it's a bad one.
Well, mainly because I haven't seen the movie that I should have... There's two movies in the Best Picture that I haven't seen that I want to see very badly, and they are Call Me By Your Name and Darkest Hour. And I have heard and expect Gary Oldman to win, but I can't, and I haven't seen that performance, so I can only pick my favorite performance, which would be Daniel Day-Lewis of the movies that I've seen.
Oh my God, I'm so.
But you can predict.
I can predict that. I'm guessing that Oldman will do it. I mean, again, this could be. I would be very surprised if Daniel Day-Lewis gets it just because he's on his farewell tour, but he was excellent in the film. It wouldn't be it wouldn't be a charity.
He's definitely a guy they don't have any problem giving multiple Oscars.
Exactly.
No.
Where and like Meryl, because she's nominated so much, they don't want to give them to her. But Daniel Day-Lewis, they're like, oh, you haven't acted in like 3 years, so we're
going to it could be because he does the every 3 to 4 year thing.
Yeah, like she's just nominated Meryl's every like year.
Meryl's in every year.
So people make that assumption.
Right.
Yeah, people make that assumption that she
won't. Do they have a Life Achievement Award? I can't remember.
They do one.
So he could have that.
Yeah. Well, he's won before.
Yeah.
Three times.
That's enough for you, Gary Oldman.
I think Gary Oldman will win.
I say good for you, Gary Oldman. It's an honor to be nominated.
He's actually won
for
three
him.
Best Actor Awards. He's the only one to ever do it.
Yeah.
But Timothy...
He is the most in history.
Chalamet was amazing.
Really? So you
Timothy
want
Timothy Chalamet and Call Me By Your Name was amazing.
Are you predicting this as
they
win?
He was also amazing in Lady Bird. It's been such a huge year for him. Like, he did two independent films,
he was the bass
and both
player,
of them
right?
have been nominated for. Yeah, he was amazing. But
he was
Daniel Kaluuya for Get Out, for sure. That poster,
you think he's going to win?
That's
your
favorite, or that's
yes,
your pick?
That's my pick, and that's what's going to win because it's what deserves to
Both.
Win. Because it was such a revelation.
Did you see Darkest Hour?
No. But how many war stories do we need? Let's talk about the war we've got going on right now.
But this was a pulp political chit chat movie. There was no war in it. It was just.
Yeah,
old
so
British
let's
guys
stop
talking
about old British guys going to war, and let's talk about the war we face now. Like, it was such a groundbreaking movie, and he was so beautiful in it, and he walked a line that I don't think people have seen.
That was
Joaquin
Phoenix.
See, I understand. I totally get that being your fave. No,
and that crime scene. And also, when Jordan Peele heard that he was nominated, that Daniel had been nominated, Jordan Peele cried. And I think that's beautiful. What a beautiful relationship.
No, all these things you're saying are beautiful.
And
I don't think that necessarily means he's going to win the Oscar. I think his...
It's a good pick, but that's
another good dark
and the
pick.
Crying,
because Oldman and Lewis
not many
could
people
split the white vote.
You'll cry in a minute. That crying scene, and Jordan Peele was saying that was inspired by Denzel Washington crying in Glory. Because he said...
that was such a beautiful scene.
It's not very often that you get to see a black man be vulnerable on screen. They always have to be in charge. They always have to have it together, or they can't show any fear, and he got to show all of that.
Excuse yourself.
Well, I think that's a great pick.
Yeah.
I like it. And that could give you an edge to win the overall
prize. It's an excellent pick.
If he doesn't get
it,
I'm storming the stage.
You're going to pull a Kanye?
Pulling a Kanye.
Well, then I look forward to seeing you up there.
Yeah. For sure.
Listen, Gary Oldman, you did a great job. And then a win for him would be a win for Denzel Washington, too.
How?
Because he inspired the tear.
I don't think Denzel might see that different.
Well,
he might be,
especially since he's against Denzel Washington.
Yeah, he might.
I think Denzel Washington would directly look at that as a non-win.
Yeah,
well, I think Denzel would be super happy.
Oh no, I'm not saying he wouldn't be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
but
just
I
saying
think Denzel
that's very
would
directly
think
Denzel
a win
Washington.
For Denzel
yeah.
would be a win for Denzel.
It's a whole lot, there's a whole lot of the actors in Black Panther that got like an opportunity to study at Oxford, and they didn't have the money to do it, and so they called for Alicia Rashad, and she said, I'll call you right back. And she called Denzel Washington, and she called them right back and said, Denzel and I are paying for you to go. So
that's
think
awesome.
Denzel would
yeah.
be wrapped, made up.
No, I agree.
And also,
and I think I didn't see Roman J. Israel Esquire.
I didn't.
Yeah, you did see it?
Yeah.
You're
the only
control.
Person I know who's
You're
seen
out of control.
It.
I've seen everything.
He sees everything.
Yeah.
Every single
best.
Movie. In
he is the Rain Man of the Oscars.
Yeah. I can actually grab onto his ankles and start going to movies.
Name
yeah.
any year, and he'll tell you what won.
Yeah.
1953. 1953 was...
Don't fail on me now.
From Here to Eternity.
Yeah, sure.
I'll find out.
With Mr. Lancaster. But anyway.
Cliff Montgomery.
Whose turn is it? Where are
it's mine, I think. Yeah. I saw all the movies. I definitely...
Hold on, I'm just pinning. You can't see this.
No, he saw all the movies.
It.
every year, back to 1927.
I'm putting a star on his chest, and Jeff is putting a medal around his neck.
Can he start all? We should just have him start every time, so we can call kind of.
He should go last, so he can fill us.
Yeah, in. I love Denzel's performance in Roman J. Israel. I thought very subtle, very like perplexed, like he's gone through a lot, and it was like such a transformation, like a nice arc to his character. Not his best performance.
He should have won for Hurricane.
Should have won for Hurricane, for sure.
I should have won plenty.
He's not my favorite movie.
He's like one of my favorite actors of all time.
Agreed.
Daniel Day-Lewis had such a great character. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like... it wasn't like, oh, look at my crying scene. It was, look at how unique this person is, and like how well he got their, you know,
all
their
idiosyncrasies.
Yeah, and then all their like OCD issues, and like he has to be like, as an artist, he has to be a certain way, and he needs an environment. And when somebody messes that up, he starts freaking out. And intimacy is so like, I don't know. It was really interesting. Like just as to watch as like an acting specimen, you know. But you know, Gary Oldman, I thought was hands down the best performance of the year. And you know, I feel like sometimes you watch a movie and you're like, okay, Capote. I knew Philip Seymour Hoffman was going to win automatically. Like I just knew. And there's just that happens, you know, that happens every year. There's a couple categories, like slam dunk. Yeah. This is the slam dunk. He transformed physically, vocally, emotionally. Although I do feel like we saw three Churchill movies this year. I saw this exact movie, I feel like, already. However, he did it in another way that I hadn't seen. I thought there were some serious snubs. I thought Tom Hanks should have been nominated for The Post. Mm. I thought Woody Harrelson in LBJ should have been nominated. He pretty much did a similar thing to what Gary Oldman did where he transformed physically.
Yeah, so why wasn't he nominated?
Nobody saw LBJ, I don't think. I mean, I saw
it. Popular enough. And it came out earlier in the year, right?
No, it came out around the same time, maybe a little earlier. But like, I saw it on for one weekend. It was showing at the Lemley, and I barely got into a little movie theater and saw it. And I was like, dude, that was good. I was like, that was really good. And, you know, some of these movies I feel like are great performances, but not great movies. And I feel like a lot of I felt Phantom Thread was just such a great performance.
Agreed.
Not the best movie. Like, a little
so
slow.
Does that take your ranking down for a person to get a best actor?
No. I think actually it moves the ranking up because they kind of carried the movie with their performance. It's like Iron Lady was not the best movie, but such a great performance. Like, it was all about, you know, Meryl Streep. You know,
right, but it can do that. It definitely can do that for, you know, the momentum going into the awards and who does end up winning.
And they do get Oscar nominations for Best Picture sometimes when I was like, that wasn't the Best Picture.
Right,
but
right.
I definitely think Gary Oldman is the man, and I think he's gonna win. Although
I hope so. It would be great if a white guy playing an old British
That's racist, I think.
Won something for a change. That would be awesome.
You know, understand why an Australian would be prejudiced against the British. I mean, what the British did to your people.
Yeah.
Let me be the first, you know, white American Jew to apologize for what the British have done.
I mean, I don't think the Oscars are... I mean, there's so much politics involved with the Oscars... always, but or any award show,
but it's Hollywood politics,
yeah. And like, so, like, you know,
is it politics or is it a rebalancing? Like,
it's hard to say. I mean, you could say either, you can go both ways, you know, say that, you know, the politics of trying to be politically correct, or the politics of like, oh, you know, certain people should win because of my own personal opinion, or based on
but it does,
what's going on
or
in society.
Or they're well-liked in town.
Yeah. Well, then that also happens, but, you know.
Or if they've, their whole career, they've been nominated but haven't won.
But here's the problem, is the conversation about politically correct, because then it takes so much away from really deserving films. So you can't say, so let's say, for example, a movie like Get Out does win. I don't think it's fair to say it was because it was politically correct to win that movie. I think that that takes away from the film, to get into that space of like. And the other problem is ultimately
you can say the same thing in the opposite way, when you're saying, "Oh, it wasn't nominated because it's this kind of film as well."
The ultimate problem is that there's just not. Here's the big thing, right?
Nobody's happy no matter what you
do. No matter what. But the fact, the overall thing that is absolutely 100% true is that there is not enough representation in across the board and who's actually making the decisions and the votes and who's relating to what movies. And so if everything comes from a white male perspective and those are the people not only greenlighting the films, but they're also casting the films, they're also making these things, that like that's where that it just it you flooded with that isn't enough representation.
Although the Academy this year made a big move to change the demographic of actually voting.
And I think it's great.
There was a huge change because of the Oscars so wide and all these.
But it's great.
It's such a great change.
It is a great thing. I mean, there's still Oscars so white going on now, and the fact is that it is a problem. I mean, look, there's a problem. Like there's a massive domino effect that happens with what you see on magazine covers, what gets into your own blood about what is good and what makes a good movie and what makes a good this or that. When you don't have the other voices to start adding to the conversation and changing the perception of what a good movie might be. And
also, the hard part is that like literally, you know, people can be on two sides of or one movie, and they can say, like, I love this, my favorite movie, best movie ever made. And then the person's like, dude, I walked out of that movie. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so bad.
Right.
And the same movie we're talking about, two people have polar opposite.
I've not heard anyone say they walked out of Get Out.
Well, the movie told them to.
And I've not heard another movie talked about like Get Out has been talked about. Like, I haven't heard it
pushed
so
there.
Many.
Don't buttons. Get ahead of yourself. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Don't sorry. Back to Gary Oldman.
You're going
to
go for it. Well, anyway.
Oh my.
let me wrap up the actor leading actor roundtable with it. Yes, I do think Oldman's going to win.
Ah.
He's my pick to win.
I'm going to blame you if he does.
And. Well, that's because I just think everyone's going. I just think there's sort of a groundswell for it. I can't even really explain it.
And
but
it's also like, you know, you say someone if you had saw the movie, first of all, I would have valued your opinion a little bit more. However, there's something to say, like somebody really deserves something, like to say like Caroline gave the best performance of the year. Hands down.
Thank you.
Right? And she was so wonderful.
I was
that there's nobody to challenge her. Like, as far as she's above and beyond
puppet.
Everyone else. Because she's white.
My felt was flawless.
Or because she's not what I want personally.
I'm white.
You are very white, just so everybody knows.
Might be the whitest here. Person here, actually.
Yeah,
I would say
you're
pretty white.
When I lived in Timor, people would come
and
touch me
here?
Just to see
if
it was real.
It's a run. You're giving her a run. But
I haven't seen that white before.
I'm going to have to steal the mic back and point out that my favorite, though, Daniel Day-Lewis for me, watching Phantom Thread, and I liked it more than Jim, but...
The movie
but,
itself.
Yeah, but watching Phantom Thread to me was like watching, you know, the greatest violinist alive play violin, or I just watching Daniel Day-Lewis.
That is how
it was moving. It was completely moving. I just, everything he did... I was like, I'm just watching one of the best actors who's ever acted act for me, and I just thought it was remarkable. And I actually love the film, as great as Gary Oldman is, and I'll be happy for him that he gets it. And Jim could tell me if Oldman's been snubbed a lot of times in the past. He probably has, but I thought Daniel Day-Lewis rocked it. But I think there's actually backlash against him.
But
for
also,
being Mr. Method and Mr.
I don't think there's a backlash like that. I mean,
he's
I think
already,
he could take... I think he could be a dark horse winner.
Yeah.
Although there could be backlash at a lot of people. He's already won.
Yeah, but he's also...
So he's already won,
away.
And people didn't love Phantom Thread so much.
Right.
But...
So it doesn't have that kind of... It doesn't have that kind of momentum.
But really, it was...
He's the only actor to
it
win three
an earth-shattering performance. So anyway, now we've done...
all four actings,
which means we get to start in with what everyone wants to talk about, which is cinematography.
Oh, that is what everyone wants to talk about.
We're going to go technical. We're going to do two technicals.
Yeah.
Two techs.
We're going to do cinematography and visual effects, and then we're going to hit the...
Who starts? Is this mine?
No, I just went last.
It's yours.
Mine? Okay.
Cinematography.
Sure. I can do it.
If I went last...
That would be you. He started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You started and I went last. So now you start.
I start.
So you start for cinematography.
And this is my choice, this category. I really wanted to add this in because Rachel Morrison is the first female to be nominated for Best Cinematography. Like in the history of the Oscars. How
of
is
the
that
universe.
Possible?
So you're saying all your choices are all political?
Political? No. Moving towards a better world, yes. you can continue over with your oppression.
Well, no, I mean, but here's the other thing. She also may have this is not to take away from what you're saying, but having knowledge of that, you may have been appreciating the things that were watching and
that's
for the cinematography and
that's
and
why
appreciating
yeah, noticing it more because that's the hard thing about cinematography. You don't always notice
right.
it.
So it doesn't mean she's
I
picking it because
in
it's political.
Film.
Oh, thank you.
It was
yeah,
really
definitely.
Beautiful. Yeah, that light was incredible.
Thank you.
Where can people see it?
If you go to the podcast that you're listening
if you go to discoverfilm.net and you go to
like
one of the Alex Merkin
one
podcasts.
Of the previous episodes 41 is it
I forget your number but also there's a
later.
In the left column of the website it says films and every film
say the name of
is
it
there
again, so I don't mess
it's
up.
Called This Modern Man Is Beat thank
yeah.
you
And if people want to hit me up on Facebook, I will hold.
But you
their
can also watch Puppet Life at DiscoverFilm.net.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you should watch
and
them in that order. Yours and then Puppet Life.
Yes. Cheer you up.
Yeah.
They're good. They're good. They do make a good double feature.
Yeah.
Since I was
okay, why didn't
politics.
Why weren't they programmed together?
People weren't ready.
I know. I think you're right.
You were with a feature, right?
I was. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were in a group of shorts.
So I chose Rachel Morrison because when I started looking,
which is Mudbound. Right?
Mudbound. Yeah. When I started looking at the trailers and stuff, I was like, it's such a stark landscape, and the way that they filmed it is just beautiful. And she's the first woman, which makes me very excited. And it opens doors for people, and kids see that, and they start thinking, hang on, I could do that, because cinematography is a bit of a boys' club. And she also did Black Panther, which was beautiful. Mm,
yeah,
it was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's
not perfect, but beautiful.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
So go, Rachel.
Yeah, go her.
Excellent.
Right. I thought the cinematography in all these movies was pretty dang good. It was really, really competitive, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought Shape of Water was so beautiful, like the way it was shot. I feel like the cinematography in that movie kind of set the tone so much of it, like really kind of gave you a feel for that world.
And the texture.
Yeah.
Texture feeling.
And all those muted colors, I kind of felt like I felt like I was almost underwater the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Dunkirk, I think, could win. I think might win. Not necessarily my
That's
pick.
That's nice, because it's another story about white men going to war.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't Europe.
I'm just glad we can bring that up every time.
Although
that's the same story, by the way.
I love that in Inglourious Basterds, Quentin Tarantino let's change history and kill Hitler.
Yeah.
Right.
But if Nolan had let's change history and have female pilots in World War II, I don't know.
But there were
females
around.
Pulled me out. But not on that beach.
And there were females who were attached to the men that were there.
Well, like at home?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
But the film wasn't
stories.
About what was going on at home.
No. Why?
Because it was about escaping war. But let's
That
move
movie
on.
Was long enough. But I think Blade Runner just was like on another level of like...
So that's your fit.
And hasn't he had like 13 nominations?
Yeah, he's
number one.
He's number one.
And he's the best. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's like one of like the greatest. But like, and like, I feel like that movie, like, I didn't think it was a great movie overall, but like, I felt like... It was just like you could just sit there and watch the cinematography, and that's like one of the few times where you're like, "Oh wow, this movie is like a tour de force of
yeah,
cinematography."
Amazing. Yeah.
I mean, just like the way the camera moved, the
totally agree.
Yeah, the lighting, like like
when stunning.
Yeah, when they're in that building and you Harrison Ford has that scene finally that we were waiting for the whole movie. It's just like it's so well lit. It's like I would say I'm gonna pick Blade Runner to win, even though I'm just going with my favorite on that one. Mm-hmm. Even though I think Dunkirk might win,
I think
so. It's actually your win and your favorite.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's my favorite that I'm gonna pick to win because I'm picking with my heart.
My
follow your heart.
Very quickly, I think Blade Runner will win.
Yeah.
I despise that movie.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a great
movie. But I think visually it was remarkable. And
also, after 13 nominations.
But my fave is, and it's tough because I kind of lean Dunkirk, but my fave is like Shape of Water, even though it's probably more to do with production design and more to do with the directing.
Art direction, yeah.
Did you guys see Mudbound?
I've seen everything.
You saw Mudbound?
Yes, I did.
I need to see it.
I thought what's his name was totally overlooked. I thought he was really good. What's his name? Is it Taylor Hirsch? The main guy in the movie.
I haven't seen
it. There was two main guys. It was it wasn't Hirsch. It was the other Taylor.
Well, while we're doing this, go ahead.
Yes. Okay.
Alex's turn.
Mine is actually reversed from you. My favorite is definitely Blade Runner, and I do think that could be one of those. Very easily could win. I mean, Roger Deakins is just... He's definitely one of my favorite cinematographers, and I thought that movie was incredible absolutely could win.
Helton.
Absolutely could win on those...
The two leads.
So you liked it. You're
We're so good.
The cinematography I loved. I liked the movie. I didn't dislike it as much as you guys did. I actually enjoyed the movie a lot. I wanted to see it again, and I haven't.
Yeah, I'm hoping when I see it again, I can...
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll see something I don't hate.
It's just... But I just think that... I think it should win. I think it's the best shot film. I think Shape of Water might win. I'm picking Shape of Water to win. Because I think it's going to be the, like, favorite to win all the categories. And I think it's not going to win Best Picture, even though it's going to be the favorite to win Best Picture. Hmm. So this is one of those things where I think it's going to win a lot of these categories that, like, people are like, I'm not, but we'll give it cinematography because it should be one of the best pictures. You know, it has such momentum, and it's definitely the front runner and the most hyped movie to win all these awards. I don't think it's going to get snubbed on everything. And I do think... it could very easily and likely win cinematography, but I would be thrilled if Blade Runner won, and it's definitely my favorite cinematography of these movies, which I did not see Mudbound. I apologize. But definitely think it could win.
I wasn't paying attention to the cinematography.
I'd love it.
It should.
Like it kind of disappeared for me. Like,
I think it should win most of the technical.
That's the thing. I think it should win. I have this feeling that Shape of Water coming in as the favorite on everything is going to take some of these categories. It doesn't necessarily deserve to win.
I love Shape of Water, but like part of me wants to tease it for like, you know, Del Toro just said, yeah, just go for a Brazil look. Just take give me something like Brazil.
But it's
I think is great.
It has more nominations and it has more buzz to win everything than everything else.
It does.
And I just think that when you get into the category of like people are like now they're not picking that movie for Best Picture, but cinematographer, they get done cinematographer. It was a beautiful movie, without a doubt. I just think Blade Runner was, I mean, just that's just something that, you know.
I mean, Blade Runner was state of the art.
Yeah,
it really was.
What do you think happened at the end of Shape of Water?
At the end? Fish, well, let's save that for Best Picture.
Fish sticks.
They died.
You did not just say that. What about sushi?
Sushi. Sushi, why fry it?
Yeah.
You're right.
You're just going too far.
Yeah, I know.
Well, now we're going to do visual effects, and Jim gets to lead us off.
Do it, Jim.
Is your least favorite topic?
Well, yeah, but the ones that we talk about. did I even circle one?
If you want, you can pass. You can be like, I don't care.
You know, it's hard. You know, you have to think about, like, the different visual effects.
Do you want me to tell you what I pick so you know what to know?
Don't do it.
Yeah, I would do the opposite.
Yeah,
she's always, she's always producing him. She's always the producer, yeah. Just trying to make sure that, that her writer's
can
on
you
track.
Can you produce an answer for me?
I can. I just got a pop pressure here.
I would probably have to say that War of the Planet of the Apes might win. I just think because the whole thing is visual effects in some way or another. Like,
But then isn't Guardians of the Galaxy on there too?
Yes.
Those effects
Skull Island.
Oh, and like that whole island was, or the whole planet was. Yeah, I have no idea who's going to win that. But
right.
I think my guess would be Planet of the Apes.
I think I'm almost certain that Blade Runner wins.
Yeah,
me too.
And my favorite, like I'm very impassioned about it, is War for the Planet of the Apes. I actually love the whole Planet of the Apes trilogy, and I thought they were kind of snubbed all around. Like, I feel like for those films effects. Were so, not just for visual, but really it's films.
Yeah.
I thought it might be the best trilogy we've got, because every trilogy generally sucks by the end.
Clearly, you didn't see the first three Star Wars movies.
The prequels?
Yeah, the prequels.
Yeah, the prequels ended on a great note.
Yeah.
By not having him come back to direct anymore? Is that what you mean? Okay.
Ouch!
No, I mean, love the guy.
Yeah, what, Matt Vaughn? Or are you on Star
Wars? He's talking
about
Lucas.
Oh, Star Wars. Lucas. Oh, I was Lucas. Just saying he should have put it down. Put down the lens, man. You know what I mean?
If he had
Put down the lens. Don't shoot.
Put the camera down.
Yeah. If he had just said, okay, here's an outline for the
You know what I would have loved for him to do? Here's what he should have done. He should have produced the first two and then, like, gotten his legs under him and produced two awesome movies and then directed, had this triumphant return for the third one. Now that they're these first two were, you know what I mean?
Well, the second one was kind
almost
of
like reverse.
Anyway.
It would have been a reverse of what he did with the Star Wars.
It's just not the best story of them all. Like,
someday I'll invite like all the Star Wars
more of a romantic
fan filmmakers, and we can have a Star Wars, you know, battle royale.
Yeah,
we can do.
But
I'll wear my Starship Enterprise badge.
Oh, you are looking for it. You are out to get it.
She just wants to offend as many people.
I'm crazy about the whole.
That's why I like
arguing about the Star Wars.
It was
like George Lucas, the best film he ever directed, I think, was in the first Star Wars film.
Yeah,
A New Hope.
Sure.
And then he should have handed off to other people from there.
Well, which...
But that's what
he almost did.
That's what I'm saying. He did that after that, right?
But he came back for the prequels.
Right, so what I'm saying is if you're going to direct, right, how much cooler would it be if he had sort of built up the anticipation to his return
by having... Yeah, but the third one would have sucked because he'd lost his
mojo. No, because then he's like, if you had actually gotten two, like, innovative young directors or experienced directors to do the first two, it would probably been on a different path that he could have just sort of... You know, not brought home.
He could have. Well,
yeah, it would have been
nice if he hadn't.
Well, episode 7 was basically a remake of New Hope, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Almost step for step.
In some ways,
it's the exact same
thematic, movie. Like, yes, yeah, story wise, a little bit. I don't know. It's
pretty much the same.
I defend it because, well, now let's not talk about Star Wars.
Because
we could go too long.
Let's move on.
There were no stormtroopers switching sides in the New Hope.
True.
But anyway.
But there was.
So that made him a
There was
character.
The great Jedi who was marooned on a planet and then got saved by.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Somebody and brought back to the revolution.
So I went. And you already did. So now it's your turn.
I do think Blade Runner will win. And I think partly it actually might even win if cinematography doesn't win. But I also think, and Blade Runner, I think probably Kong Skull Island. See, I agree with you about how much I like the work that was done in the Planet of the Apes. I don't think it's as innovative moving on from the previous ones. And I think if you actually watch the special effects in a movie like Kong Skull Island, which was, you know, there were some pretty new takes on some of the effects, and I thought were interesting. I didn't think it was amazing or perfect, and I'm still waiting for someone to treat giant animals with weight of giant animals and not have the, like, speed of... I don't know. It's like you just have. I haven't seen it since Jurassic, you know, the first Jurassic Park when that T-Rex is coming out. You just see the you know, every step feels heavy and huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now everything that's big moves so quickly that you just...
You don't hear it or feel it.
Like it has a size. Like, they want to make everything so fast. But it's like if you're watching an elephant running, even if they're running quickly, they look like they're moving in slow motion because of how... You just see every muscle and everything moving so much
slower. It's hard to move that much mass.
Right, so when you see these big creatures, they should be moving in fit.
Scale them up, but they don't really take into account gravity.
They think that, well, they think that faster is scarier or better, and it sort of takes you out of the physics of it in a bit of that way. But I do think they did some pretty amazing and innovative work in that space. But I do think Blade Runner will probably win it.
And is it your fave, or is Kong your fave?
It's like Blade Runner is my favorite, but I think I actually would say that I think Kong would deserve. I would think Kong deserved to win over Blade Runner.
Really? Okay.
For the effects, for just from a visual effects standpoint.
Yeah, I don't think it can win though, right? Because not enough people saw it.
Well, Kong.
So yeah. What? I loved it.
Oh, okay. I'll take it back. I thought nobody.
No, it did well.
My assumption is the Academy voters didn't go see Kong.
Mm, I mean, they may just watch an effects reel. I don't really know.
This is another one where you'll kick my butt in the pool.
I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong. I think. I also said Blade Runner will win, so I didn't. I didn't say that.
Oh, yeah. Well, which one is your pick to win?
Blade Runner. I think Kong. I think Kong. Blade Runner is a stunning film that I think relied on its effects a lot less. But the fact that they're so seamless is an amazing aspect of it. I still think the effects work that was done in Kong is
probably... Should be acknowledged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think Blade Runner will win. I can't speak anymore. But I don't know. I have a sneaky feeling about Guardians of the Galaxy, but my pick is Kong. Skull Island.
For favorite.
Yeah. It was pretty good. I liked it.
I didn't like the effects in Guardians of the Galaxy.
I haven't seen it. I just haven't
seen it. Why are you... Oh, it's just your inkling. Got it. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
So screenplay?
Yeah, now let's do the two screenplays.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting.
Yeah, you are.
It always comes back around to me at the worst time.
It's the worst one.
It's funny because this is adapted. I'll just do adapted and then we'll do original.
Mm.
But this one's tough for me, but I have to. My favorite. Okay, no, my prediction is I'm going to predict Molly's Game because everyone likes to suck Sorkin's dick.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa!
You have to do it while you walk.
Apparently, yes. Well, you have to go on a long monologue and then finish with his dick in your mouth.
Oh,
I mean, that's just cynicism. I actually like him. I just think everyone is too in love with him.
Right.
And
for good reason.
My personal favorite is Call Me By Your Name. I just thought it was beautiful in almost every way.
So romantic.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go on more about that maybe later. But so that's... My favorite, but what I think it would.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have a favorite in this category.
You don't have to have one?
Because I haven't seen enough. I mean, the ones I've seen are Logan and The Disaster Artist, and it's just hard for me to have a favorite in that space. I don't know. Yeah.
The Disaster Artist is a remarkable nomination, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't see it.
With the big time snub.
I mean, the worst film ever made was the... material for and just shocking.
Yeah. I'm guessing that Call Me By Your Name will win.
Mm.
So that's my guess for it.
Win, that's your win, that's and my no win. Fave.
I don't really have one. I mean, of those two movies, I don't know. Screenplay? I don't know. I can't. It's like I enjoyed The Disaster Artist. It's a movie that I felt like I completely got it and saw everything in the trailer that I didn't. I don't feel like I learned anything. I went any deeper. I thought it was just fun to watch. For me, it was just a fun movie to watch. And I enjoy...
A lot of the script came from the actual other script.
Right. So,
not a whole lot of dialogue change, except for the behind the scenes.
I enjoyed Logan. I just don't... for me, I appreciate it more for other reasons than the script. So.
All right, Caroline, you're up. Adapted.
Call Me By My Name. I loved that so much. It was so beautiful. But also, I'm so pleased that Mudbound got made. I'm so glad that story got told.
Is that your fave, or are you doubling up
on faves? And it has one female writer. And it's always great when a female name gets in the mix, because when you look at all the people that have been snubbed...
I'm waiting for Jim to touch
on the majority of the list of people who have been nominated so many times, but they've never won it, they're all men. And it's because in cinematography, in visual effects, in writing, in directing, usually it's all men. So...
Understood.
I like that that story got told, and it got told by a male and female team. Yeah.
Which one?
But you're not picking it as your solo favorite.
Which one do you think is going to win?
Cole.
What?
Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, Cole.
Cole. The movie Cole.
I was like, Cole. Was there a Cole?
Cole. Sorry, I was just reading
English. Cole's English. Making a comeback.
English, please.
It's the Clean Cole.
All right, now Jim gets to go.
I have a... When it comes to screenplays and stuff like that, or even movies in general, I have a real... I'm really, like, strict about what I'm looking for, and I'm looking for story overall. Like, creative stories, compelling stories, through lines, themes, like, things like that. Like, if it... Like, I hate movies that just end... open-ended. Like, those really
don't watch
me.
My short film.
but they, like, I mean, with no resolve. You know, it's kind of like those things are hard. And a short film, it's good, though. I mean, because it is a short film, it's probably a smaller part of something bigger. But in, like, a film like this, like, I want a beginning, a middle, and an end, you know? I feel like...
You're out there. You're making all sorts of controversial claims.
Right?
Yeah, now you've built it up. I'm curious.
Well, I think Molly's Game was the best adapted screenplay on this list by far.
So that's your favorite?
Yeah, by my favorite and my pick to win. I think it's going to win. You know, I just think it was really well written, and I think...
When did it come out? I didn't see it.
Recently. Oh.
Actually, it's the movie I enjoyed the most that is not on the Best Picture category, because I had a great time watching that movie, and not only just for the dialogue, but like just for like...
He's a gambler?
I do like to play cards. So. But... I mean, like, I definitely, that part appealed to me. And just having a powerful woman as the protagonist really motivated
me. Yeah, yeah.
What the hell? He just winked at me.
No, I mean, and honestly, like...
Don't wink at me as you talk about women's rights.
Jessica Chastain, you know, it's hard to get too much better than that. Like, I don't know. But I just felt like that movie, I thought, should have been nominated for Best Picture. Like, overall, great movie. Like, just entertainment value.
She's amazing. I love her.
Great story. Like, the story is like... You almost wouldn't believe it if it wasn't true.
I wouldn't have minded it taking the Post's place, but that's a different topic.
A whole different topic. Mm.
Can you have Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks in a movie and it not be nominated for Best Film?
Sure, just give them a Oscar nomination.
Who did not get nominated?
Sorry.
Yeah. But
if Molly's Game deserved it. I don't know. I didn't see Molly's Game. I went to a focus group to look at the commercials of it and say which commercial I thought was most effective.
Because there's a difference between, I think, like, oh, well, this was a great film.
I lied.
Like, this is a great performance. Like, this is like, I'm studying the acting in this one, or the cinematography blew me away. Like, but there's a difference of saying, like, hey, I watched this movie and enjoyed myself. Yeah. Like, this is a great movie.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like that with Molly's Game. I was just like, this is a really good movie. I had a good time. I could take anybody I wanted to that movie and not worry about them disliking it.
That's why we're going to argue when we get to Best Picture.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Original screenplay.
Alex Original screenplay.
Alex gets to launch it.
Okay, my favorite of these movies, screenplay-wise. So... I really like Three Billboards the best for screenplay. I think Lady Bird might steal it, and I think it was an excellent film, and I think it would be well deserving. And at first I put The Shape of Water just because it was another one of those ones I put in, like, the one that everyone thinks is going to win Best Picture that's not going to win Best Picture to me. But I think Lady Bird or Get Out could steal it. I think Lady Bird will steal it.
I wouldn't be upset.
But my favorite in this would be Three Billboards from a screenplay standpoint.
Oh. All right, Caroline.
The Big Sick was phenomenal.
It was really good.
And if you've listened to those two talk about how they wrote it, because they're a real life couple,
yeah,
and they would be talking about their dating, and he was talking about this particular date and how well it went, and she was like, That was the worst date. That was the date I decided I was never going to see you again. And so they were like, how do we write it then? So they wrote it where she was thinking it was the most terrible date and he was thinking it was the greatest date. And I loved that play so, that film so much. And I thought they did such a great job. But Get Out is my favorite because it's so original. And it's such a crazy concept.
So The Big Sick is your second favorite, and Get Out is your favorite.
Yeah.
And you think it will win?
You think?
I want it to win. Right. I don't even want to think about another
one. But what do you think is going to win?
Three billboards.
Right.
And I also love Lady Bird. This was a really tough...
This was actually way more of a competitive
category.
Yeah. Like, I felt like the adaptive screenplay wasn't as competitive as, like, original. Where... Every one of these on the original screenplay, I was like, they're all good. Like, yeah. I mean, they're all well written.
Scripts.
All well written.
Very good.
I just feel like on this one, though, it's like, this is a movie, Three Billboards is a movie where people are like, the writing is impeccable.
Right.
Like, the dialogue, the wittiness, the characters, that way each of them talk is so specific and so, and the banter is just like on point, it's hilarious. But that's Martin McDonagh for you. Like, that's how he writes. Like, and he is such a good writer that it's like, I feel like it's a slam dunk. However, you know, I think Shape of Water, it's like half of it was, you know, sign language and nonverbal, which I think is really interesting to write in a screenplay, which is not easy.
I love that moment where she's signing something and Octavia Spencer says she's saying thank you.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
And her eyes, Sally Hawkins' eyes are like, yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, I think my thing, too, is, like, Lady Bird, I thought, was really well written. Like,
such a joy.
It is. I thought the story, the relationship, the way they interacted with each other was so honest. And it was, like, literally, like, if she could take a... a part of her life out and, you know, be able to rewrite it as accurate as possible. I feel like that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's beautiful. And I think Get Out is such a great idea, fresh and clever, and the way it was executed and how well it was thought out, I think...
And from the writer that brought you Keanu.
Right.
Which I love, too.
That was actually a surprisingly really good movie. From the poster and the preview, I didn't expect
that. Did that make his underrated list?
It did not. I don't think it was your underrated.
No, at all.
But so I'm clear, your favorite is...
I think it would be a tragedy to this entire world if anybody but Three Billboards did not win.
Right. And Martin it's your McDonagh. Win, it's your prediction and your favorite.
Oh, definitely. And he's my favorite writer in the world. So, like, I think... if he didn't win, there's something wrong. Like, we're not voting on merit anymore. Then it's
but
based
how
on
can you
else.
Say that? Because it's such a strong category.
And Caroline, you predicted Three Billboards, but your favorite's Get Out, right?
And Big Sick.
Because, like, I've everybody who's seen any of the movies, if they've seen Three Billboards, they've literally talked about the writing.
Yeah,
like,
but
every
I agree with you. I'm just saying that I would also say that a movie like Lady Bird, which has, like, gotten at the kind of attention it has, would not be anywhere in the vicinity of the... It didn't have anything else going for it at the time beyond this exceptional writing that brought the attention. I think that, for me, that's a movie that...
I thought the performance is also...
No, what I'm saying is, it started... That's just what started... That's where you start.
Oh, you mean for it to get made?
Right, for this movie to actually get the kind of momentum to actually get made and you know, like, you could... you know, there's a lot of really great performances and a lot of really, really great indie films. And,
but,
so for me, I mean, Three Billboards is my favorite, but I don't think it would be... I almost expect Lady Bird to win.
Yeah. My turn. I actually completely agree with Alex on this one. My favorite was Three Billboards. I think Lady Bird will win, and I'll be happy for it. But the thing I want to really say about Three Billboards and how brilliantly it was written is the ending.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, has there ever been a film made in America about a crime and a mother trying to seek justice, and she gets no justice? The perpetrator will never be found, and we're seeing that she's recovering through relationships with others. just
and such a and
fantastic
such a, an unexpected evil. Character. Yeah,
fantastic.
Just
and you know, and then they're gonna go seek revenge against somebody stranger else. Who might have done something horrible over in Afghanistan. And on the way, they're like, "Hey, we're probably not."
He also messed up her her shop. He messed up the antique shop. He was
He deserved. I'm not sure he deserved to die.
I didn't say die, but
brilliant writing. Brilliant.
Three
writing.
Of these made me so excited because they are people who are spilling out of one category into lots of categories. So Jordan Peele's like known for his comedy and his sketch writing, and now he's writing, directing. Greta Gerwig writing, directing, known as an actor. The Big Sick, these guys writing their own stuff when he's an actor. And she was, I think she was an actress as well, I can't remember. And I just love that they're spilling out of different, and they're creating work for themselves. Like they're getting out there and making their own work. It makes me really excited that three, you know, over half of these are examples of that.
True.
It's very inspiring.
Absolutely true. And by the way, Shape of Water, I walked out of, and you walk out of a Guillermo del Toro film and go, how the fuck did he think of that? How the hell did he actually make a movie about a woman falling in love with a merman?
Well, it's actually
creature.
A spinoff of
Is it
Hellboy.
A spinoff?
The same character of the fish is in Hellboy.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not adapted.
They're calling it original. But still, it's such an adult fantasy.
It's the same character that they took and put made
wasn't
it.
Wasn't adapted from another
But
movie,
like what
right.
I'm trying to say is that like it's so out there and creative to just do
but
a pure fantasy.
I think he bought the idea off someone though.
Yeah, it's from the comic. Well, I don't know about the actual.
But the Academy said original screenplay, so the screenplay is completely original.
Yeah.
I mean, the story itself isn't from anything.
Yeah.
But the character is from a comic.
I just mean, like I said, you know, I watch a lot of kids' movies.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, this is a fantasy, purely adult.
Yeah.
I mean, she had sex with it.
Yeah.
I guess it's.
And that's okay.
And she even did
but
the.
It doesn't
she
have
even
to be.
Did the.
Yep.
The hand sign for what
happens. Fish can change. They're sex.
It was okay in Beauty and the Beast.
Also, what is the fish...
Stockholm Syndrome.
They didn't do it till he was human.
What does the fish represent in our society as, like...
You never know.
She said he was an animal in the pit.
But anyway, so... And I'm actually one of the people snubbing Shape of Water. I just kind of wanted to throw it a bone. Because I know my opinions really matter to Guillermo.
I've just done that gesture.
They do.
That was the best description of a penis coming out of a fish man's sheath.
Wow.
But because fish can change gender, that's kind of a topical thing too. She's
so was she
a
lesbian?
Not
that she was a bisexual. What was
transgender?
Yeah, transgender.
Was it a threesome?
It was a
that's
having?
Not transgender. That's something else, right? That's bigender.
Genderless.
That's right.
Gender.
Transforming gender.
Omnigender.
Yeah.
Omnigender.
All right. Well, our next topic. Now we get down to the final. Wow. We're
final
to the final two. Director and.
Are we going to do
Caroline
animated?
Caroline Begins, right?
We're not.
Again.
Director, I want Greta to win for Lady Bird.
That's your fave.
That's my fave. Oh, no.
What's your prediction?
My favorite would be Get Out, and I think Lady Bird.
You think Lady Bird will win?
I will be disappointed if another war movie wins.
Well, there's only one war movie, so...
They should have just called it another war movie.
Yeah. Another war movie. Lady Bird, because I just think it's so amazing. She did her directing was...
You think that that's going to win and you want Get Out to win? Is that what you're saying?
I want it to win.
So Get Out... If there's like a huge...
I would love Get Out to win.
You would love. That's
I would
your favorite
love that
film.
Too. Both of those.
That's your favorite directing job.
And her directing, like every single performance in that movie was flawless. Like the sister-in-law, like the girl that's dating her brother, Saoirse's brother, is Miguel's girlfriend. Even she's got a couple of lines in it, and she's amazing in it. Like the directing of that film, I think, was just beautiful.
It was a great movie.
Yeah.
It was a great movie. I walked out of that movie really happy.
Yeah.
But I'd seen
and then you were
every
wondering
time,
about fish.
Every time
parts.
You say I walked out of that movie, I keep thinking you like left the
movie. Yeah, that sounds like that.
I'm like, you walked
I
out of
Shape
of
Water? I actually
did
think that
too, yeah. Water?
Also, the other guy, what's his name? Lakeith Lee, who plays the guy whose body's been taken over in Get Out. How did he not get a nomination? He was amazing. You know, when...
Oh, the one who said Get Out?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Because when you remember, he's the one at the start of the film walking down the street.
Yeah.
His range
just didn't have
is...
enough. You know, the problem is he didn't have enough... He's great.
But it was really
he
just
didn't have
scene.
Enough screen time.
Yeah.
It just that's really the...
Judi Dench?
No.
Oscar Judi Dench is a treasure.
She is a treasure.
And that's Jim's turn. Jim's turn for director.
This one really frustrates me. I feel like the person who's my favorite is nominated.
Oh.
Let it go.
And yeah, I'm like really frustrated with this category because I felt like...
Just keep breathing.
How can a movie win, possibly win Best Picture and not be nominated for director?
Who
How's
is
that
it?
Even possible?
What is it? What?
Martin McDonagh.
Right.
For Three Billboards.
Of course.
Might win Best Picture, but not even nominated
That's
for Best
crazy.
Director? That seems ridiculous to me. How could you maybe have the Best Picture, but as a director and not nominated? I mean, I get it if they go a different way sometimes. Lately, that's been the trend where they've
happens
been...
a lot.
They've
been,
it
yeah.
used to not happen. It used to happen once every 10 years.
But they threw Nolan
years.
In there, didn't they?
Well,
it used to be a rare occasion where they didn't win both.
The first time I remember being really upset about it was on Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, Saving Private Ryan.
But,
and then they started, like, the last three years or so, it's been different movies, director and Best Picture. But I don't think a movie has ever... in the history of the Oscars, been nominated, won Best Picture, and not been nominated for director.
I think you're right, yeah.
Might be the first time ever.
It's probably the silliest thing in the world that they're separate categories, because if the director has done the best job,
which is
then
usually
it
why
be
they
the
win.
Best film.
Usually why they win both.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be the norm. But
I join you in your outrage.
Right. Well,
mm-hmm.
it's first time.
Yeah.
yeah, and then I thought, you know, Spielberg also, I thought, like, he did a great job. And I know there's, like... a lot of Spielberg haters because he's Spielberg.
I'm not here.
But
I
think...
I think he's great. I think he's gotten better over time. So
yeah. Oh,
I love this recent stuff.
Definitely. I think he's...
But I didn't see the post.
The post is really good. I mean, it's a good movie.
I went and I was sitting in the theater to see it.
But
he did walk out of the post.
I did walk out.
Oh,
I
did
during the trailers.
Really?
Because I had a podcast to record and I forgot. My phone went...
Reminder.
Podcast to record in 30 minutes, and I was in the during the trailers of the post. I'm like, oh my god, I better run home.
No. I actually don't think that Dunkirk should have been nominated for Best Picture or Director.
I agree.
I did not think it was a great movie overall. I thought it was cool.
Yeah,
I thought it was an interesting take on it, but
I want to see them use that quote. Cool.
Yeah. I also like
it
I
was
said,
cool, but not the best.
Phantom Thread. I felt like. Paul Thomas Anderson, you know, did what he does, and I think, like, the master, it was very slow and, like a slow build, and it was very monotonous. So, like, I just...
That was a surprising nomination.
I didn't think he... I mean, over Martin McDonagh or Spielberg, I wouldn't have nominated Paul Thomas Anderson. So...
I agree.
And Get Out, too, I'm on the fence about, but... I think Guillermo del Toro is the only one that I think
he's
should win in this.
So
category.
He's your winner and your favorite.
Well, no, my favorite's not nominated.
Your favorite's not nominated. That's right.
So
of the category,
so
of the category, he's the only one.
It would be McDonagh.
I would see. Yeah, I should win.
Well, I am your opposite, but why? I think Shape of Water is going to win.
Guillermo del Toro,
and actually, my favorite. Is Phantom Thread, is Paul Thomas Anderson. Mm. I actually, the same reaction I had to watching Daniel Day act, I had to watching PTA direct. I was like, I am in the hands of the man who...
Wow.
Of the person who just does this so well.
Wow.
It's just, it's like spending time with someone I love watching that movie.
Really?
I loved it. And I love the direction.
That's the best review ever.
It's a pretty good review.
I just think that was my reaction to that film.
Wow.
And then as I was walking out, everyone I saw it with were like, that sucked.
Yeah.
That was boring.
I feel like you
and
get that
like,
a lot with
really?
Movie,
that was
yeah.
boring? Oh my god. Every moment of that film I was really into. But it is also, I'll point out that I live with and am spending the rest of my life with a woman who likes to make clothes. So I kind of was into the clothes making angle too.
Yeah.
So I might have been less bored by the scenes of him making clothes were just phenomenal to me.
I felt
and
like
that bored the shit out of people.
I felt like it was to me it was so interesting to watch the characters, but I thought that the story didn't move quick enough. I thought that it wasn't eventful.
I was his baby, and he was just rocking.
I love
but,
that.
You know,
rocking
I mean,
to sleep.
I mean, for me, it's like you know, watching. I bet it's horrible. I can't edit this. I promise I wouldn't edit this. You know, watching one of the greatest, watching the Wimbledon finals, just to see tennis played as well as tennis can be played. That's what Phantom Thread is.
Well, I felt like, for me, like, I'm a Scorsese fan. Like, he's my favorite director. However, Silence, I felt the same way I felt about Phantom Thread. Same thing. Like, I felt like this was like a passion project for him, and it was like too long, too slow, too uneventful.
I hear what you're saying. I really did enjoy Phantom Thread. I didn't enjoy it for the directing. And I love P.T. Anderson. I've always loved his directing. To me, he definitely sort of kind of stepped back for the performances, and I did think it was beautiful to watch those performances, but for me that wouldn't be the movie that deserved to win Best Directing. I do think Shape of Water will win. I think Get Out should win.
Nice.
I think
that's your favorite.
That is absolutely on this list. That I think that, and I'm honestly amazed that that's his first feature
he's
direction.
I know he's to direct.
Yeah, exactly. I know he's been around it and he's very experienced, but I thought.
And on the show, they did lots of cinematic things.
Of course, but he wasn't directing it. I mean, he was just around it and he was obviously learning. But for me, he was masterful in the way that he took everyone through that story and the way he turned it on his head. I would
be. It's such a fine line to walk to get both audiences.
All audiences to just you just there, this isn't this is this is a very it's just the thing is that it's very social and very political politically charged and to make a movie like that in such a mainstream and digestible way in a way that you're not that all that goes away and you're not thinking about any of those things as topics as issues and then to have it all turn on your on its head the way he did at the very end of the movie, which to me was honestly one of the most brilliant endings I'd seen in a very long time. I it's hard to do the twist ending kind of thing at all anymore, and it's almost never that fascinating when you do see it anymore. But I
she
thought that
was very good in it in that way too.
Sure.
What's her name? Williams.
Allison Williams.
Because I didn't see it in her at the beginning.
Yeah, you
and were, I didn't see any remorse really in her.
There was a long time where you thought she could be okay.
She really sold that the whole deception of it all.
So absolutely.
I just would say to me that movie was far and away the especially in the category of what I see here. I do think Guillermo did a great job directing Shape of Water, and I do think it will win. But I think Get Out for me was definitely a better job, a better effort, and should win. And I would be thrilled if it does. It does feel like the kind of thing that can also kind of come out and take it. But I think it deserves it.
Cool. Yeah. One more, right?
Yeah.
Oh no! Did you start that one?
I think I started that. Yeah.
All right, so now it's time.
Uh-oh.
Best Picture. And who's starting?
Me.
I'm blanking. You went last, so yeah, now Jim goes first. Best Picture.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, I feel like there's a lot of these movies that aren't great movies all over, like Best Picture movies. I feel like they're great performances. Darkest Hour.
So which
Hour.
Are least deserving? Least deserving is Darkest Hour?
Well, Darkest Hour is just a really good performance of a movie that I've already seen. This year,
I'm with you,
right?
I'm with you,
right? Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely
it's like ants.
It's a performance,
yes. Yeah.
It's a performance piece.
Phantom Thread's a performance piece to me. Dunkirk, I thought was really cool and fun to watch, but the same as like Blade Runner for me, like I didn't think it was a great film. I thought. Call Me By Your Name was beautiful. Like I thought it was really beautiful. I don't know about Best Picture, like of the year kind of thing. Like if all the movies I saw, I don't think it moved me in the same way that I would want it to move me. I thought Lady Bird, if it won Best Picture, I wouldn't be mad because I thought it was a great, great film. I think it was on the simpler side of, you know, I think about like what I mean, I'm a Oscar fanatic, so, you know, I want to hold up the Best Picture nominee, because I'm going to have to remember, you know, that movie forever.
Yeah. 40 years from now, right. You'll be able to still say, in 2018.
I just don't see that as the kind of movie that, like, I would be like, oh, that's Best Picture of the year. It's kind of like Ordinary People who beat Raging Bull.
Yeah.
And nobody remembers Ordinary People, really. They remember Raging Bull more. Yeah, but, I mean,
yeah, no, but yeah,
if you think about 1980, you're like, Raging Bull didn't win Best Picture.
Well, yeah, same thing with Goodfellas and Danzas. Yeah, I mean, it's the same kind of...
Yeah, thing. So, like, I feel like that happens all the time. Right. But... yeah, The Post, I thought, was a really good movie. I didn't think Best Picture. I think the two movies for me that, like, are really up for Best Picture, which either one won, I wouldn't be mad, would be Shape of Water and Three Billboards. Although I think Three Billboards is going to win, I actually thought, as a full-on movie, I thought Shape of Water was the best picture of the year. One, it moved me, like, in such a way, and such a unique story, and, like, something that I might not naturally connect with, you know? So I thought Three Billboards was really well written, and I don't know, Shape of Water, I thought, was a really, really cool. Good overall, like, everything I want in a Best Picture kind of movie.
Sure. Yeah. Well, for me,
did I mention Get Out? I don't think I mentioned it.
And this will be, my prediction is Three Billboards. I think Three Billboards is going to take it.
Yeah.
I just kind of feel like it will.
For Best Director.
That's my hunch. But my favorite, if I was going to have a favorite, and I have a favorite, is Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, I actually so think good. That was.
Now, it could be because I love Italy so much, and it was like spending time in Tuscany, but no, I love so much about that film, and I have a very, very brief speech about it, which is...
Go for it.
...that it has a male sex symbol, and it shows a man as an object of desire in such a wonderful way. I've seen so many damn movies... where the camera focuses on a woman's body and a woman's face, and you're just supposed to fall in love with her on camera.
Right. Objectify her.
And finally, a man is a sex object.
Who's being objectified.
And he's gorgeous, and he made me want to go to the gym, but I really can't make myself do it. But, I mean, the male as sex object was so happy. Just like you love to see women get to write and be cinematographers, I love seeing a man... get to be a sex object of to be worshipped like that.
I do feel like it was a little hard though to watch, like, the age Beach. Difference and all that stuff, like you know, almost like a
pedophilic. Well, but they were like 25 and
it's legal
17
in Europe.
Yeah, a lot
I was
of things
okay
are legal.
With it.
But I mean, with this day and age of what's going
I just,
on,
I got to tell you, I love that. I just couldn't love that movie more.
It's so funny because I didn't see any objectification. I was just swept up in the romance of the story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
She was, whereas for me,
she was, that means the objectification was working on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just look forward.
I thought
maybe,
the same way about
maybe
water,
someday a woman.
Yeah.
I look forward to the day that the woman writes a heterosexual movie where the man is an object of desire. Because I don't think I've seen it. Women don't like us enough. That's my problem. All right. Next.
All right.
True.
Like in Bridesmaids, it's a nice guy cop who's just like boring and nice and a dependable guy, and that's the man.
It's
Chris
O'Dowd. I love him.
Nah.
He's a nice guy.
Crush on him.
He's
it's
not
Alex's
like
turn.
A
it's
sex symbol.
It's Alex's turn.
Okay,
what
so
yes, he was not a sex object.
He's to
he
me.
Was a niceness object.
I think going into that night, I do think Shape of Water will be the front runner. I don't think it's going to win. I like the movie a lot. It's not my favorite movie of the year. My two favorite movies of the year were Get Out and Three Billboards. And I think Get Out will win.
Whoa!
Yeah, I think Get Out will win the movie. I think it will. And look, this is me just trying to be bold on this. I think it can do it, and I think it should win it. I would not be upset if Three Billboards won. I do think it'll be one of the two. But I'd like to step out on the limb and say I think that they give Guillermo, Shape of Water directing, and then they give Get Out Best Picture.
And in theory, Get Out is really your pick and your favorite. Three billboards you're holding up on the same level.
I'd be happy enough with both of them, yeah. Okay. And I thought Three Billboards was an excellent film. And throughout the entire year, every time I'd see a movie, I'd go, I don't like it as much as Get Out. And then I saw Three Billboards, and I was like, oh, okay, I like this one. I like this. I put this up there. So it's a little harder for me just because I already sort of had set Get Out in that space, and I don't think it has that kind of momentum, but... you know, honestly, that movie is, I just think it does so many more things that are, like Three Billboards to me is a more obvious choice. It's a more obvious pick. There's a lot of beautiful filmmaking in it. And I love it. I love the filmmaking I'm seeing. I think what's amazing about Get Out is just how subtle and reserved and brilliant the filmmaking is, on a level that is not in your face and out there. And I think that it's digestible in a way that people can watch it on one level, just as pure entertainment value, and then you can watch it on a completely different level for the genius, I think, that it is. So I would say Get Out's my pick. And I think I just have this feeling it might just, like, surprise everybody.
There you go. An unedited hour and a half of four people talking about the Oscars before the Oscars happen. Stay tuned for another podcast next week where the same four people, and maybe some bonus filmmakers, will discuss the Oscars after they've happened. Okay, let's wrap it up. Go to discoverfilm.net to see Alex's film, to see the film James and Caroline made, to see lots of other great films that other great filmmakers have made. All right, I think that is it. Thanks for listening.